Ladies and gentlemen, Dallas Snyder.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Well, as usual, I have good news for you. And the good news this evening is, you are here on this plane of action to be victorious. You were created to be victorious. In fact, there is no other state that you can be in but a state of being victorious. The world would like to teach you that you are a victim and that you are here to suffer. This is absolutely not true. Please remove that from your consciousness. If you are not achieving your goals, your desires, see what is holding you back. And you will find that the only thing that is holding you back is your own self. It is always going to boil down to you. You cannot blame anybody, and you cannot blame anything outside of yourself. And you certainly can't blame this thing that we call God. Give that up. In fact, give all blame up in any shape or form. It is not needed. It is not necessary. You have to remember that you came to this plane of action completely equipped to be victorious. And don't allow other people or the world to talk you out of that. The world, or race mind, is always going to find a scapegoat, and it's always going to find somebody to blame, so that you do not have to take responsibility for your own life. We must take responsibility for our own life. We are the one that is causing our life. Our life is caused by every thought and every action that we do. So we are actually creating ourselves. We are creating our own life. Once you realize that and take that responsibility and give up blame, it sets you free, because now you know where the problem lies. It lies within you, and it lies within your thinking. So you don't have to waste the time saying, oh, it was my parents, oh, it was my background, oh, it was my education, oh, it was this, oh, it was that. Waste a great deal of time. So just give all that up and immediately say, huh, there must be something in my thinking. There must be something in my consciousness that is keeping me from having what I want. And I am not going to blame anybody. I'm going to take full responsibility for my life, and I'm going to take full responsibility for everything around me. But I'm going to take that responsibility without any blame or shame or guilt whatsoever. You just look at your life. You look at your situation. You see it for what it is, and you see yourself for where you are, and you say to yourself, I don't like this, or I like this. And then you make a decision to think differently, and certainly always to think differently about yourself. You see, for thousands of years now, institutions have been teaching that everything is outside of you, and they had to do that in order to have control. The church, and many churches still do this, tell you that you need them for salvation. You do not need anything outside of yourself. You are whole and complete and perfect, just the way you are. And you came here with a toolbox that is completely equipped for every situation that you find yourself in, so that you can always be absolutely victorious over any situation. If you don't like the word victorious, know that you have dominion over everything, which is the same thing. You are the one that's causing everything. You are always the cause under your own experience. When you realize that, it takes all the other stuff away from you. You don't have to waste time searching why. Why you're thinking. It's always going to boil down to your thinking. And it's going to boil down to what you are thinking about yourself. How are you thinking about yourself? Are you always holding yourself in the highest of esteem? Are you always loving yourself? Are you always kind to yourself? Or do you allow that little mind to yell at you, to berate you? Don't do that. Don't do that. You see that little voice that you hear inside of you every once in a while, that many people call the parent voice or the critical voice, comes from race mind. And it comes from the conversation that's already going on out there. And we think that that voice is real. And we try to listen to that voice. Don't listen to that voice. It's not going to get you anywhere. It's always going to put you down. It's always going to berate you. So you have to remember that you can change your thinking about yourself. You can stop that little voice. You can make that little voice tell you what you want to hear, what you want to hear about yourself. It may not happen overnight, but you have to, every time it comes up, you have to argue with it, and you have to tell it that it has never brought you any good news, that it has never been your friend, and it has to go back to the nothingness from whence it came. But we buy into that. We think because that's inside, that little voice inside, that it must be real. That little voice is not real. You're picking up race mind. You're picking up what the world is talking about. And we're born into those conversations. But we have to learn that that conversation has nothing to do with us whatsoever. Nothing to do with us whatsoever. Churches used to preach, and many churches still preach, that we are the worms of the earth, that we are less than the worms of the earth. Now, we know perfectly well that that is not true. Why do we want to keep listening to that? Why do we want to keep believing that? Why can't we see our perfection? Why can't we know that we're victorious, that we have the power to overcome any situation? And if you look at it as a situation or as an opportunity instead of a problem or a difficulty, it makes it so much easier to solve. But it's always going to boil down to what you are thinking about yourself. What you are thinking about yourself. So when you're thinking about yourself, you have to know that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. These four items should be at the forefront of your mind every time you have a moment to think. They should be coming up. They should be coming up, not the other garbage that we allow to come up in our mind. It is up to us to do that. Ernest Holmes said, "You must learn to think the thoughts that you want to think, and learn to feel the feelings that you want to feel." People are waiting for a thought to come into their head. You have to make that thought come into your head. If you sit idly and you're not in meditation, your mind is just going to chatter away, and it's just going to keep chattering away. And it's very rarely going to tell you anything good about yourself. You have to train your mind to say something good about you. You have to do that. I tell this story on myself years ago when my alarm clock went off. It used to say, my mind, "Dallas, get up. You're nothing but a lazy lounge lizard. You're never going to make anything out of yourself. Now get up." And then it would go away. I trained my mind to stop doing that. Now when I wake up, my mind says, "Good morning, Dallas. You are going to have a wonderful day today. You are going to create a wonderful day today. Everything today is going to turn out right for you." Then I get out of bed. Much better, isn't it? But I had to train myself for that thought to come up. For that thought to come up. We can do the affirmations. Affirmations are absolutely wonderful. But here again, remember, when I do an affirmation, it is my affirmation. I give it to you. You must correct that affirmation. You must do what makes it resonate inside of you. Because all affirmations do not work for everybody. Because an affirmation works for me because it resonates inside of me. My mind is able to accept it and go to work on it. If it doesn't do that for you, you keep changing it till it does resonate, till your mind goes, ah, aha, that's reasonable. I can accept that. Then it will go to work on that. It will go to work on that. But don't allow that internal conversation to keep going. The longer it goes, the longer it's going to take you to get rid of it. The longer it's going to take you because you're used to it. It's used to you. You just fall into it. It's like having a cup of coffee every morning. Oh, that's my mind telling me I'm no good again. Why do you want that to go on in your life? Don't do it. Don't do it to yourself. Every day, say to yourself, I am here on this plane of action to be victorious. And I am victorious. Everything I do turns out right. Everything I touch turns to gold. These are the thoughts that you want to keep in your head. And if you're not having those thoughts, it's because your thinking is telling you that you're not worthy, not deserving, not lovable, and that you don't matter. So work on those. Still today, I have people that we've been doing this for I don't know how long now that can't remember those four items. Cannot remember them because the mind does not want them to know that. And you are not your mind. You see, your mind gets used to things and it thinks that it is you and you think that you're your mind. And when you start to change, your mind starts to say, you can't do that because that's not you. And you have to say, but you're not me. I am in the power here and I am the victorious one. And I know that I'm victorious because I'm worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that I matter. These are the things to keep going in your mind. And they will just become automatic. They'll just become automatic. And it's wonderful. So with that, let's get up and do our matter dance. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yay!
For people who haven't done it before, it seems a little silly. But it works. It absolutely works. Because it gets things moving inside of you. Hey, hello. Come in, please. I have a race mind alert. A young man in my building who's a plumber is fixing the plumbing, and it's taking him days to do it. And it's simply because somebody else upstairs put something down the drain, and he's doing it for nothing. He's helping this lady out. So he says to me, since it's now taking 3 days, he says to me, you know, no good deed goes unpunished, you see. Do you remember that old saying? I hadn't heard it for years. I had not heard that for years. Now that's pure out-and-out race mind. Out-and-out race mind. Yes, no good deed goes unpunished. Now with that kind of an attitude, what are we going to do? You know, you have to look at those things and you have to see those things. You have to hear those things. I also had a friend call me today, and for exactly 1.5 hours, she did nothing but complain. I said nothing on the phone. Finally, she said, well, you know, we're just here to suffer. And that's all there is about it. I said, thank you very much. You know I have to go now. And I hung up. People still think that they're here to suffer. They still think that this thing that we call God wants us to suffer. Remember, that cannot be. That cannot be. You cannot say all that I am is God, but I am not all that God is, and then think that God wants you to suffer. God never sits in judgment upon itself through you. Never sits in judgment upon itself through you. So think of those things, and when you're out there, listen to that. That's the conversation that's going on in the world. And that is why the world is in the mess that it's in. Because people are listening to that conversation. We are born into that conversation, but we can get out of that conversation. And I'll talk about that later, about the whole idea of all the conversations that's going on. I had this come across the internet. I asked the lady to send it to me. And this is right up our alley here. If you trust yourself and approve of yourself, all your problems literally dissolve and playful creativity bursts forth into its full flower. That's from Seth. Does anyone know Seth, Jane Roberts' book, Seth?
Yeah. Could you read it one more time?
Yes. If you trust yourself and approve of yourself, all your problems literally dissolve and playful creativity bursts into full flower. Now, isn't that worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter? If you knew and trusted yourself and approved of yourself, isn't that one of your affirmations?
Yeah.
I approve of myself?
Yeah.
That's a wonderful affirmation. I approve of myself. You see, if you approved of yourself and you trusted yourself, your problems, and you knew that you were victorious, your problems would go away. Your problems would go away. Most people have problems because they love to play with them, you know. To be at them up and play with them. But because they think, oh, I'm not alive unless I have a problem. I'm not alive unless I have a problem. Or, I'm not alive unless I'm in drama of some sort. You see? And you can be alive. I'm not in drama. I'm not in problems. And I'm alive. Never be in a problem. Be in a solution. You see? When people say, oh, I'm having a problem, I say, well, I'm having a solution. You see? If you say, I'm having a problem, you're having a problem. If you say, well, I'm having a solution, you're going to have a solution. You're going to have a solution. It depends where you're living. Are you living in the problem or are you living in the solution? You have to learn to live in the solution. You have to know that everything is working for good. Everything is working for good. At the moment, it's just the appearance that it's a problem. But if you look at that and say, huh, over here is the solution, and I'm going to look here at the solution, you don't have the problem anymore. You don't have the problem anymore. And people think, oh, it takes so long to solve a problem. It takes nothing to solve a problem. Problems can be solved instantly. Haven't you ever solved a problem instantly? Well, if you solve one problem instantly, all problems can be solved instantly. But because of our mind, we start to put judgments on it, don't we? Well, that takes time to do that. Well, that's a little bit more difficult. Well, this is bigger than I thought. Well, this is this and that and the other thing. I never look at anything as big. Never look at anything as big. Why? Because I know that God doesn't know the difference between big and small. So if I know all that I am is God, that I'm not all that God is, then why do I want to assume that something's big and something's bigger than I am? Nothing can be bigger than we are. There's no problem that can be bigger than you are. Don't let your mind talk you into that. Don't let it happen. The next one. I love this one. You are made by an artist who loves his work and considers you his masterpiece. Isn't that wonderful? You were made by an artist who loves his work and considers you his masterpiece. Each and every one of us is a masterpiece. Every one of us is unique. We're absolutely always the rarest of the rare. There has never been anyone like you before, and there'll never be anyone like you again. That is why we never compare. You see, we can't compare each other because we're the rarest of the rare. Each and every one of us is a unicorn. Each and every one of us is a unicorn. So take that into your thinking and know how unique you are. Know how valuable you are. And isn't it nice to know that you're not like everybody else? That you're rare? That you're the rarest of the rare? Instead of, oh, I'm just an ordinary person. You know, I don't like the word ordinary. I don't like the word common. I don't like those words. We're not here to be common. We're here to be magnificent. We're here to be great. We're not here to be common. We're not here to join the status quo. These are the things that you want your thinking to do. You see, it's always your thinking. And you're the one that has control of that thinking. No one can think for you. No one can think for you. And if you're not doing the thinking, who is doing the thinking? Is there somebody else living inside of you? No. So you have to be doing it. And when you know that you're doing it, you can stop doing it. You can just stop doing it. Oh, that was a crazy thought. I have tons of crazy thoughts. I just don't go with them. You know, other people have crazy thoughts and they go with it. Yeah, I have tons of crazy thoughts. But I know that they're just coming and going. They're just passing through. And I often say to my mind, is that the best you can do? Come up with something better than that. You see, if you know that you're completely connected to this mind of God, that you live, move, and have your being in this mind of God, then why do you want to settle for a common thought? Why do you want to settle for something like that when you can get it? You can get it from the mind of God. I look at the mind of God and I think it's absolutely wonderful because we teach this all the time, that we live, move, and have our being in the mind of God. And that God is all there is, or this mind and this intelligence is all there is. And it spreads out through everywhere. And it's so intelligent. And it has all this information in it. And all this information we can use. And we can use that. Well, our technology is mimicking the mind of God. Look at the internet. Where is all that information stored? They say in cyberspace. Well, that's the mind of God. It's all stored there. And we're using technology to do it. Someday, when we advance in consciousness, when we evolve and use all the powers that we have, we won't need the internet. We'll be able to go, oh, yeah, there it is. There's that information. We won't have to go to all these websites and so forth and find that information. But let's talk a minute about a website. Here's what I noticed, and I am not what I would consider computer literate, but I do small things. When I said earlier, is that the best thought you can come up with? Can you come up with a better thought? That's not the information that I want. I need more information. There's that many little things on the internet. I think there's Ask and all Googles and whatever all that stuff is. Well, you can press those different things and ask them the same question. You're going to get a different answer from each one of them. You're saying. It's the mind of God. You don't have to settle. All that stuff is in the mind of God. All possibilities are in the mind of God. You could settle for that small possibility. That's all right. If you wish to settle for it, do. But know that there's a larger possibility out there. And that's what we're living in. A field of possibilities. A field of possibilities. So when you know that all these possibilities exist, then start choosing the ones that you want. Or start saying, I need a better possibility here. Show me a better possibility. Show me something different. Instead of constantly the same thing over and over and over and over and over. You see? I don't like to think the same thought twice. I always think of thinking the same thought twice is like eating leftovers. You know, I had that yesterday. Why do I want to think that again today? And if there's all these possibilities and this great big enormous mind out there, why should I just keep thinking the same thought when I have all these thoughts that I can think? So think of that. And think of your mind expanding. Just think of your mind expanding. And it will expand for you. But we get so used to thinking the same thought that we just keep thinking it. How many people here have thought the same thought for the last 30 years? Yes. You don't have to think that same thought. You don't have to think that thought. You can change it. But our little mind, the mechanism, always takes the road of least resistance. And it always says, well, you had that thought before here. I'll give it to you again. I say to it, no, I don't want that thought. I want a new thought. I want a bigger thought. I want a brighter thought. And you'll get them. But you have to ask. And if you just keep asking, you'll discover that all that stuff is there and it drops into your mind. It drops into your mind. This thing that we call God does not show favorites. So if all these other people are thinking great thoughts, you can think great thoughts too. But first, start with thinking great thoughts about yourself. Think great thoughts about yourself. It will change your whole life. Okay? Always it will change your life. Okay? Let's do a spiritual mind treatment. And this is what I know, believe, and accept for myself. I am truly one with this thing that we call God. I know that I live, move, and have my being in the mind of God. And I allow myself to get in contact with that mind. I allow my mind to open to all the possibilities in the universe. And right here and right now, I open my mind to the possibility of prosperity and abundance, including money. I see abundance and prosperity everywhere. And I see money everywhere. And I claim my full share of it, knowing that it takes from no one, that my share is my share. And I am entitled. I am entitled to it because I am one. I am one with the only power there is. And I allow that to be so. And so it is. Tonight's topic is conversation. And the reason I came up with this idea, I often tell you, you know, we're born, always born into a conversation that's already going on. When we were born, there was a conversation going on. I was born in a conversation during the war. So that influences us always with the conversation that's going on. George Washington and the colonial people were born into a completely different conversation than we are today. They thought, oh, they must be loyal to England. Today, there's no such thing in the conversation that's going on that we must be loyal to England. So conversations come and go. But they're always in race mind, the conversation. Now, you You know, race mind, when we talk about race mind, you know what race mind is. But race mind, you know, is in the mind of God. It has to be in the mind of God because the mind of God is all there is. So race mind has to be in there. Now, you can use race mind if you wish to use race mind. It won't get you very far, and then you will have the idea that you're here to suffer and things aren't going quite right. But feel free to use that mind if you wish. But realize that you can move out of that mind. Look at the conversation. Remember, conversations with God. How many people here are constantly in a conversation with God instead of a conversation with the world? You're saying, stay in a conversation with God. You look perplexed. What does that mean? Stay in a conversation with God.
Bringing your thoughts up to God is...
Well, we're always trying to think God thoughts after it. But bringing our thoughts up, how do we do that? Well, we see good everywhere. We know that we're good. We see ourselves as wonderful. We see other people as wonderful. We know that business is great, that people are wonderful, that life is a fantastic adventure. This is keeping a conversation going on, a conversation with God. So anyway, these conversations are there. And the reason why I wrote this one down is because I happen to have that television set on, which is sometimes good, but most of the time not. But this is a news program that I was listening to, one of the local news programs, and they were talking about cancer. And the man said, because years ago, cancer, first of all, when I was a child, no one mentioned cancer. If they did mention it, it was with hushed terms and behind closed doors, and then it became the C word. And we just didn't talk about it. That was that conversation that was going on. Well, the conversation now is changing with cancer. So the news commentator actually said, you know, the conversation is changing about cancer. And what the conversation is changing to, that now cancer is chronic. You're saying. Now, what I also have noticed the conversation is going on, they have made almost every disease chronic. Now, why do you think that people would make a disease chronic? You see, first of all, there is no physical causation for disease. You know, when I had a church, I mentioned this, that there was no physical causation for disease. And 3/4 of my congregation left the church. And I got angry telephone calls from people saying, how dare you say something like that? And I said, well, you want me to teach the teaching, do you not? Well, yes. Well, I said, then read the teaching. That's in the teaching, and I will not milk the teaching down or water the teaching down at all. That is what it is, and that's what I am saying. She said, well, it's certainly not the case with my friend. You can't tell me that she's got arthritis and her hands are all crippled and so forth because she's bringing that on herself. And she said, she's entirely too young to have this. And I said, let me ask you a few questions. What's her relationship with her parents? She absolutely hates her parents. She said, I can't talk to them. She doesn't do it. There is no physical causation for disease. Anger, hatred, and resentment stores itself somewhere, and usually here somewhere. So, there's no physical causation for disease. So, diseases cannot be chronic. Now they're making all diseases chronic. And why are they making all diseases chronic? Because now, you can take a pill for the rest of your life. And now they tell you, if you start this pill, you may not stop taking it. If you start this pill, you may not stop taking it. This is fear-based. This is absolutely ridiculous. And it certainly negates. Come in. And it certainly negates the whole idea that we are victorious. You see, earlier when I said we're here to be victorious, that means over everything. You see, oh yes, I know I'm victorious over this, that, and the other thing, but I have this problem, I have this disease, and oh, you see, cannot be. I'll tell you how I look at all diseases, and this is just the way I look at them. I realize that we have dominion over everything. And if I tell you you have dominion over everything, you say, yes, I realize that I have dominion over the animals of the world. Is that right? We have dominion over those. Well, if you ever look at these little bugs and germs that people say cause disease, they look like little animals. So if we have dominion over the big animals, we certainly have dominion over these small animals. I'm talking about bacteria and virus and things like that. So where is this disease coming from? So it has to be coming from a thought atmosphere of some sort. It has to be coming from a thought atmosphere. From race mind. From doctors. From institutions out there. And we buy into it. And we see it, don't we? We see sick people. And we say, well, it must be true. Those people are sick. Those people are sick. Did not one of the master teachers, Jesus Christ, did he not heal the sick? Did he tell them it's chronic? Did he tell them you have to take a pill for the rest of your life? Did he give them a pill of any type? What did he do? He said, get up and walk. He made them change their minds about themselves. He made them change their minds about themselves. Remember Phineas Quimby, great metaphysician and healer in New England. All he did was sit with a patient, and he only took terminal patients. He would sit with them and tell them how marvelous they were, how great they were. And he just kept telling them till they changed their minds about themselves. Till they changed their minds about themselves. And he was the one who said everybody that he healed thought that they were sick because they had committed the ultimate sin. Because they had committed the ultimate sin. And then he discovered that everyone had a different ultimate sin. So there is no such thing as the ultimate sin. First of all, there's no such thing as sin, people. Don't go around thinking that. That's another little thing that years ago institutions had to do in order to keep people under control so that they could have the authority. They told you that you were sinful and only they could take that sin away from you. You have to do that for yourself. Bye. My goodness. See, every time I'm, I lose 3/4 of the people when I mention. Everyone's talking. Yes. And no physical causation for disease and people leave. No. But this is absolutely. It's all in our mind, everything. So the conversation that we're in at the present moment in race mind is that things are chronic. Which means that you can keep living with them, but you're going to be suffering, but you're going to just keep on living. You see, before it was, oh, you're going to die. You're going to die. So it's a conversation, and you have to realize, what conversation am I having? What conversation am I living in? What am I listening to? Who am I listening to? So, anyway, always, what? Oh, that's not Tom, is it?
Yeah.
My God, he looks different. I thought he was a criminal. So, we're always living in a conversation that's going on. And you have to know what that conversation is. And you have to be able to change that conversation or move away from that conversation. I think at the present moment, you are in a conversation, your industry is in a conversation that's going on, and the conversation is that the market has slowed down, that things aren't selling. That's merely a conversation. It has nothing to do with anything, but people are listening to it, and they're believing that conversation. So you have to remove yourself from that conversation, and you have to say, that's just a conversation. It has nothing to do with me whatsoever. Why does it have nothing to do with you whatsoever?
Because the conversation is not, that, first of all, it's not my source of my supply.
Yes.
Because God's my source of
yes.
supply. It's not what people think.
Yes. It's not what people think, and it's not the conversation that's going on. But people listen to the conversation, and the conversation is an insidious little thing. You see race minds seeping in everywhere. It just seeps in, and we think, oh, it's real. That's real. It is not real. It is a conversation only. So when you start to doubt yourself, when you start to hear all that, no, oh, that's not my conversation. That's not the conversation that I want to hold. And don't hold that conversation. Don't hold it.
I had a conversation actually with an agent in our office. She was saying, well, you know, everything's really slowing down. I said, well, that's not my experience, and that's not what I choose to believe. She says, well, that's not going to get you anywhere. And I said, can I think about
that's not going to get you anywhere.
I personally think that how I think is going to pretty much determine how I do.
Yeah.
I
said, yes. So, you know,
yes. She said, that's the
yeah.
key.
Yeah.
That's
and that's race mind right away.
Yes, race
wow.
So, I'll quickly, remember Aunt Catherine, 94, and the doctor said to her, well, you must have good genes. And she looked at the doctor and said, don't you think attitude has something to do with it?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's always going to be attitude that has something to do with it. I was in a home the other night, a mother and a father. The young son is 21. He wants to become, before he arrived, the father said, you know, he wants to become a millionaire in real estate by the time he's 30. And his mother said, well, wait till reality sets in. Took it right away from him. Wait till reality sets in. You see, that's her reality. That's those people's reality.
Wow.
You don't have to
yeah.
be in that reality.
Yeah.
And this is what poor children, you know, how? He doesn't stand, what, a snowball's chance?
In hell.
Because his mother said, wait till reality sets in. Instead of saying, I think that's wonderful. I'll help you achieve that. Let's see that together. Let's do
yes.
that. Let's change this conversation.
Yes.
Let's not buy into this conversation. Real estate people, I was in the real estate business, I know. They love to buy into everything.
Mm-hmm.
A couple weeks ago, remember, Jules was so upset because that thing was on television? That's out of, no one's talking about it anymore.
No,
that
yes.
just, it
right.
just went.
Right.
But, oh, did that cause all that turmoil?
Mm-hmm.
And people got upset. Jules, excuse me, was upset. She thought, oh, there goes my whole real estate business. There goes that, there goes that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's looking outside of yourself. That's placing the blame somewhere outside of yourself. You see? You can't do that to yourself. And that thing is completely gone now. So, that type of thinking and that those type of situations, when you get your emotions and you get all that and your thinking all going, it's all for naught. It's all for naught. It's never going to go anyplace. And that's what you have to remember when you hear all that stuff. This is not going to go anyplace. And it's not coming to my place.
Well, it churns up all that fear that our mind loves to create.
Yes.
When we buy in, it just... And then it causes dis-ease.
Yeah. So, why don't we redo that sentence that you just said? What did you just say?
Buying into that race mind, like the real estate thing, churns up all the fear that our mind likes to create, and then it creates.
You said it just loves to create.
Just loves to create.
Mm-hmm.
So, why don't you say, my mind loves to create. Harmony.
Wants to create harmony.
See, because you're thinking that your mind loves to create fear.
See, don't you listen to
him. Don't.
click.
Always.
Race mind wants to do that.
Yeah, race mind wants
race
to do that. But your mind doesn't want to do that. So from now on, you say, my mind only creates harmony.
My mind only creates harmony.
You see? Never.
I love that.
Use fear. Never use the word fear. Never say, I'm afraid of anything. I told you about the woman. Her car was so afraid and they broke the car window. Well, last week when she came to see me afterward, we were at the end of the thing. And finally she said, you know, I realized, Alice, I brought that on myself. And I went,
yay.
I said, I did not want to bring that up. I was not going to mention it. But now that you did, let's look at it. And we looked at it.
Fabulous.
And she realized that she was so fearful that day. Now, you know my street. And you know my street. And you know my street. And you, it's peaceful. And when we went out, that window was broken.
I hardly ever see anybody.
No, you never see anyone on the street. But that window broke. That window broke. And that was absolute, that fear. So always put out love. Always put out harmony, you see. And that's what you're going to get back. And don't ever think that your mind is creating fear. My mind does not create that. My mind only creates harmony, only creates balance, only creates peace. And then you see that for yourself. That fear is in race mind, and it's used to motivate people. But wouldn't love and harmony and peace motivate you just as well, if not better? It would do the same thing.
Yes.
It would absolutely do the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, see, here again, it's always our choice. What are we thinking?
Yeah.
What are we buying into? But fear is absolute race mind, and the whole world is in fear. Do you remember when fear was so bad that everyone ran out and bought that horrible thing that went across your steering wheel?
Oh,
yeah, the club.
Do you see them anymore?
Gone out of favor.
Yeah, they've gone out of favor. But a policeman used to advertise those, remember?
Mm-hmm.
This stops the thief. This stops this. And I refused. I wouldn't have all that kind of... I won't have anything in my life that's an attachment that holds me back from anything. That's why I hate locked doors. I hate anything like that. Because I don't like keys. I like to come and go, and I don't want to know where this is or that is at all. But some people have that many locks and stuff, and it's all through all the burglar alarm systems and so forth are sold because of absolute fear. And fear is the motivation there. And that's all absolute race mind. So that is a conversation that is always going on out there. So you can listen to that conversation and know that you can move out of that conversation. But you have to know that that conversation is not real. It's just a conversation. And you're making it real by buying into it. And by thinking that's the way people think. Everyone's thinking that way. Everyone's doing that. And that is the conversation. What is one of the other conversations, good or bad, that is going on in the world? Well, that Starbucks is the best coffee in the world, and everyone has to drink a Starbucks every day. And they're on every corner now. They're on every corner now. You see? So you have to look around, you have to see, and you have to know, what conversation do I want to participate in? And isn't it better to participate in a higher consciousness and say, I'm having a conversation with God, and I'm seeing myself as whole, complete, and perfect, you see. And I'm going to see other people as that, and I'm going to see my business as that. People are wonderful. Business is great. You have to know that. With your agents and your people in the office, every day if they would say to them, business is great, you would change the whole thing around. But they don't, because they walk in the door and people say, oh, it's lousy today. There's nothing going on here today. You see? And then we create that. And we just keep creating that stuff. But it's up to us to change our thinking. And this is what we can do. And that's always the greatest gift that we have. And we know that. And we don't do it. We know it, and we don't do it.
I had a question, Dallas. I want to explain something. You tell me why I did it.
Okay.
I had a contractor working at the house this week, and there was something that wasn't going... Well, something didn't happen the way that he envisioned it, because he left early the day before, and his guys didn't do it. So I said, well, I went up there and looked at it, and you guys didn't do this, and didn't do this. He goes, oh, yeah. He goes, I drove away, and you know, I left early, and then the guys didn't do what I needed to do. And I said, you know, we create everything that we do, right? He said, how can you say that? If that's true, then you must be God. And I said, you're right. And then I think at that point, he realized he spoke the truth, and so did I.
Yeah. So you are. And what do you want? What is the question?
Why did I say that?
Why did you say that?
Why did I say you're right?
To him?
About being God?
Yeah, he said, then you must be God. He said, if you can create everything, he said, then you must be God.
Yes, and
I
why?
I said, you're right.
Yes, and why? You should have said that. That was absolutely right to say. Because you're learning that all you are is God. You're learning that you're worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. And everyone should be able to stand up and say, yes, because I'm God. Why? God does not mean, when you say the word God, does not mean... We are all gods. You can look that up in the Bible. It says, know that ye are gods. God means that you create things. And you created that situation. He created that situation. And you're gods because of that. And we're all gods because we're always creating. And that's what God does. God creates. And we have that capacity to create. And we see other people creating. People create marvelous things for themselves. And if they can do it, each and every one of us can do it. Each and every one else. But listen to the conversation that's going on around you and decide not to participate in it if it's that fear-based, race-mind conversation. And every... They call them cultures in corporate America. Every corporation has its own culture. So, but that culture, what they're calling, is a conversation that's going on. And those, each one has their own. And certainly you know that in the real estate industry. The industry itself has a conversation that's always going on. But Coldwell Banker's conversation is different from Long's over here. They have a different conversation going on. And that's what you have to say. I'm not participating in it unless it is prospering me. Unless it's doing something good for me. But to sit around in that conversation and let yourself go down because five other people in the office say, I haven't sold anything, therefore business is bad, business has slowed down, no one is buying, this, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. A bunch of baloney. An absolute bunch of baloney.
That also seems the time in listening to people who are successful in real estate investment, that those people go, okay, now there's that conversation, I'm going to slip in and buy.
Yes.
And they're very successful at that.
Yes.
Because they don't...
Yes, they don't buy. When I was in the real estate business, I had some properties and people said, well, the only way you're ever going to sell them is if you find somebody with cash and there's no one with cash, just name me one person with cash. I said, Prince Charles. They only needed one. You know. But all the Arabs have money and they're still buying up America. Find an Arab and you can sell something. And we had tons of them at that time in Georgia. Tons of Arabs were buying up. They had cash. And we sold to those people. Mm-hmm. You and I are making our own lives. We're making our own reality. We're setting our own rules. Don't let anything outside of you do that for you. You tell them, no, this is the way I am doing it. This is the way I am doing it. And let the rest of them do what they want. Don't buy into it. We are here on this plane of action to be absolutely victorious over everything. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and therein is the lesson. Thank you.